Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Yes, you must learn how to die. But you must also learn how you are born. You must learn of life. Death you can do, but you cannot give yourself life. Someone else must give you life. Someone else must give you birth. And it came with great pain, not to you, but to her. In pain you shall bring forth children. Her sorrow is a pointed reminder of the sin that dwells within her own body, the sin of her husband, now manifest in the sin of this child as well. She feels sin in a way that she has never felt it before, consuming her whole body, her mind, and her soul. So in the throes of labor, a woman may cry out, "Never again." She feels the curse. Death comes to all because all have sinned. She feels that pain, that death, that suffering. So in the throes of this earthly life, a woman may say, "How could I bring a child into this world? Broken relationships, shattered promises. Wars and rumors of wars, chaos and destruction. She thinks she is being kind, but really she is consumed with the curse, with sorrow, with suffering, with sin and death. The promise of God does not guide her, but her own sadness." Jesus admits that life on earth is hard. It's hard to live here. It's hard to labor. It's hard to give birth. Now is your time of sorrow. But a mother is not focused on that sorrow. She does it anyways because she is focused on life. Life comes through pain. Joy comes through sorrow. These aren't separate events. The one is pregnant with the other. The one leads to the other. You can't have the joy without the sorrow, and you can't have life without pain. So also, the life of this world are not simply distinct and separate events, disjointed and disconnected from the other, but the genealogies of Jesus teach us that each was meant to lead to the other. So when the time had fully come, Israel, pregnant with the promise, finally gave birth to a son. All of Israel's sorrows and hardships and struggles throughout the wilderness and the monarchy were meant to lead to Christmas, born of a virgin. In Christ is the fullness of God. In Christ, all the promises find their source. He is the son of Adam, the seed of the woman, the son of David, the great prophet, the branch of Jesse, the fruit of the virgin, and the rose of Sharon. And on it goes. The disciples failed to see that. They failed to see the connection between Israel and Christ. They're in the midst of Good Friday, or they're in the midst of Maundy Thursday with Good Friday coming. Jesus speaks to them of his impending death, but he does it in delicate terms because he loves them and he doesn't want them to be focused on death and sin and sorrow, but rather on life. They know that hardship is coming. What does he mean by a little while? What does he mean by I will see you, I won't see you, I'm going to the Father? They see these as separate, disjointed statements rather than one flowing into the other. Hardship is coming. Now is their time of sorrow. Soon they will process to Gethsemane. Soon will be their hour. The sun will refuse to shine. And the Father will abandon his beloved Son. Yet Christ seeks to focus their mind not on death, but on life. He wants them to see the cross not as death and sin and destruction, but as life hope, peace, reconciliation, and salvation. He is going to the Father. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit, he says. He has accomplished and has gone to the place exactly as he had said. They must see his cross as the payment of sin and the reconciliation of God as man. They must see his cross as the place where forgiveness is won and the gates of heaven flung wide open. They must see his cross as life. But they don't. Because they are consumed with sorrow and grief and sadness and tears and pain. They fail to see the connection between Good Friday and his teachings. They fail to see the connection between that cross and his miracles. They fail to see the connection between his cross and Christmas and the promises in the Old Testament, the history of Israel, and the Tree of Life. It is easy for us to mimic those disciples and to fail to see the connection between Christ and his life and ours. There's a reason why sorrow and sadness, call it depression or anxiety, is on the rise at the same time Christianity is on the decline. Men are focused on the curse, on death and destruction, chaos and evil, which they all too easily see around them. You have felt it in your body. You have seen it in your own life. So to deny that this world is a valley of tears and sorrows is to deny the very words of Scripture and the reality in which we live. We're not trying to deny that reality, but to point to life. Your sinful nature wants you to stop there. Consumed with the grief and the sorrow of what you see and experience on a daily basis. My life is unique. I'm different. No one understands what I have to go through on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, the people I have to put up with, the pain and the hardship that I endure, and the struggles and stress I have. We think we're different. That our lives are disconnected from everyone else's. But what about that man of sorrows? Does he understand? What about that man who was acquainted with grief? Does he know? How easy to view our sorrow as disconnected from Christ's sorrow. How easy to view our struggles as disconnected from Christ's struggle. How easy to view our life as separate from Jesus' life. We are tempted to view Christianity as nothing more than a set of information, boxes which we need to check off on a test, and we're good to go. Instead of seeing one event leading to another within our own life, the cross leading to where we are today. If you simply tell a woman who is in the midst of labor the scientific reason why she has this pain, do you think that will help? You focus her on life, on her child. Joy and sorrow are connected. One leads to the other. One sustains in the midst of the other. Christ is your life, thus Christ is your focus. Jesus is what your whole life is about. A mother and child are united together in both joy and sorrow. So you are united to Christ in both. Calvary had ended the separation between God and man, yet Calvary led to Easter, and Easter led to the Ascension, and the Ascension led to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost, which continues today in baptism. So in baptism, you are brought up into the whole life of Christ. And his life then flows through you. Your sorrow is his sorrow. Your joy is his joy. Your life is his life, even as his life and his joy are yours. In that water, you were born again. Your flesh was drowned, and a new creation came forth, a new resurrection, a new life stuffed full with the life of Christ. So your life does have meaning and purpose, because his cross has meaning and purpose. And each day, your life flows from that cross. So learn of life. Learn how you are born. Learn to live as one being born again, as one who has come forth with Christ from that empty tomb through the waters of baptism. Living a baptismal life is a daily dying to sin and to its passions, so that a new man might daily arise to live before God in righteousness and purity. It's to live as one who is united to Christ, one who believes that Christ lives and this matters for each and every day, not simply at that hour of death. So not stuck in the sadness of a world, but focused on life. Not stuck in worry and fear, but focused on the firstborn from the dead. Not stuck in failures, but focused on him who sits at the right hand of God to forgive your every sin. We don't want to go back. We don't want to go backwards. Life always moves forwards. For each has led us to where we are today. We don't want to go back to where we were a few years ago or a few months ago. Even though we may have been sitting with different people in these same pews, we always want to go forward. For it is those events that have formed and shaped us into who we are today, even as the cross of Christ has formed and shaped us, has formed and shaped each of those events, so that we are here this very day. Life moves forward, not backwards. Mary Magdalene at Easter was trying to hold on to the physical presence of Christ, yet he said, "I am ascending to my Father and your Father," so that he might now fill her hands with far more than she could ever hold. So Christ ascended not to be far away, but so that he might pour out his Holy Spirit on you and fill you with every good and perfect gift. People come, people go. Children are born, people die. This is life in this world. Yet Jesus is always with us. We are always moving forward, one step in front of the other. Never are we headed backwards. Jesus ascended so that he might always pour out this Spirit on us. The Son of Man has made it through the pains of this world and has been born as the firstborn of all creation from that grave. So yes, now is our time of sorrow. But he has seen us in his Holy Supper. Creation groans as in the pains of childbirth. It is a hard life. It is difficult. Scripture admits as much, but he has paid for our every sin, has removed the curse that troubles us, and is present to give us life. So your whole life has led you to this moment right now. Or to break it down smaller, your whole week has led you back to his altar, so you may eat his body and drink his blood for the forgiveness of sins. The ups and the downs, each one has led to the next, not disjointed separate events or days in your life, but each driving you back to where your God is present so that you might receive him and see your life as connected to his. Jesus lives bodily in you, and you are alive in him. So whether you see all this or not, your life always has meaning and purpose, because it always is flowing from his cross and your baptism into him. Your life is always moving forward, for he has gone to the Father, and so shall you. And then your joy will be complete. Alleluia, Christ is risen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.